Good evening. In addition to expressing their preferences on candidates and state issues at next Tuesday's election, the people of Kalamazoo will vote on a special advisory ballot relative to the city's parking problems. The form of the ballot has been much disputed. In fact, an unsuccessful effort was made this week to enjoin the city from submitting it in its present form. It is not a clear-cut vote on parking meters. The first question upon which you vote yes or no is, should the city of Kalamazoo provide additional off-street parking by the creation of more municipal parking lots? The ballot says if you vote no on that, you should not vote on question two. The city officials whom I consulted today were not certain, however, whether ballots would be thrown out if the voter did mark no on question one and then went on to vote on question two. Question two reads as follows. If your answer to above question is yes, then do you believe that such parking lots should be financed by A, levying additional taxes on all real estate, including homes, or B, small charges made for use of parking lots and installation of penny-nickel-type parking meters in limited area of business district? You vote on question two by placing your cross opposite either alternative one or alternative two. We have asked Vice Mayor Glenn Allen, Jr. to state the arguments in favor of the parking meters. Mr. Allen.
My fellow citizens, I should like to give you three reasons in favor of parking meters as a step to solving Kalamazoo's parking problem. First, parking meters are now used by 61 cities in Michigan, including Detroit. None of these cities have taken meters out once they have been installed. Lansing has had meters since 1941. If meters were as harmful as some people conscientiously believe, surely they would have been removed. In fact, Kalamazoo is the only city of its size in Michigan without meters. Are all cities wrong but Kalamazoo? Secondly, parking meters speed up the parking turnover in the area in which they are installed. Your city government has made a lengthy check of the experience of other cities. Many letters were written, many conferences held with officials of other cities. All of them have told us that meters speeded up the turnover in parking. Let me give you two quotations from letters. The city manager of Jackson says, parking meters have increased the available parking places due chiefly to the ease and positive manner of checking the length of time people occupy the space. There has been a vast reduction in cruising, or explicitly the driver circulating the block looking for a parking place. Mayor Law, head of the CIO and former mayor of Pontiac, says, meters have helped Pontiac solve its parking problem. They have increased the available parking places. Now, opponents will tell you that all the meters do is enable the motorist to remain parked in one spot all day, providing he keeps placing coins in the meters. The facts, as gathered from the experience in other cities, shows that this is not true. Your city government is interested in bringing you facts, not theory. Third, parking meters provide the most equitable method of acquiring more off-street parking lots. If Kalamazoo is ever to solve the parking problem, we must provide more parking spaces. That means more parking lots. That means spending more money, particularly in times of inflated values like these. Well, where are we to get the money? We can get it from property taxes on the homes of our citizens, including the homes of the laboring man. But I ask you, is it fair to make the man who owns a home and who does not own a car pay to provide parking spaces for people with cars? There are many people in Kalamazoo who own homes and do not own cars. Is it fair to make the homeowner in Kalamazoo pay for providing a parking space for the salesman from Grand Rapids or the visitor from out of state? I say to you, the fair way is to make the man who uses the parking space pay for the convenience. That is done by parking meters. With the incidental revenues from meters, Kalamazoo may pay for new parking lots. Battle Creek receives $40,000 a year net revenue from its meters. It has acquired two large parking lots. Lansing receives $86,000 a year net revenue. It has acquired 10 lots. Ann Arbor has issued $60,000 in bonds secured by parking meter revenues and is building a triple-deck municipal parking garage. Wouldn't you like to see one of these in Kalamazoo? The ordinance proposed by your city government contemplates penny-nickel parking meters. Incidental revenue is to be used for acquiring new parking lots. Remember, pennies produce parking places. They save you money spent on gasoline and cruising looking about for a parking place. They save you working men taxes on your homes. They have been a success in other cities. These are the facts. Your city government has faith in your judgment. Let's give them a try and make Kalamazoo a better place in which to live.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Now, to give you the other side of the argument, we now bring to our microphone Mr. Francis L. Denner of the Kalamazoo Federation of Labor. Mr. Denner.
Thank you, Dr. Dunbar. In presenting the opposition side of the parking meter question, first let me make one thing clear. This fight is not being made by labor alone, but rather by labor on behalf of the many citizens of this community. You may ask the question why we have taken up the fight in the first place. To start with, the Chamber of Commerce and Merchants Bureau appeared before the City Commission with a proposal that they put in parking meters. The Committee of the Kalamazoo Federation of Labor got a confidential tip, that the move was on, and on the same night the Chamber of Commerce appeared before the Commission, the Federation was also on hand. At that time, we pointed out our objections to the meters, stating in part that they would not provide more space on the streets or make the individual move his car more often, but on the contrary would be an inducement to the individual to tie up the limited parking place by placing another coin in the machine. After considerable argument, the City Commission agreed at our request to hold a public meeting in the matter. This was done early in the fall of 1947. At that Commission meeting, on the now well-remembered night, the Commission room was filled to capacity with a very good cross-section of all walks of life in the community. Of all the remarks that were offered that night, without the few, were opposed to the parking meters on our streets. After the meeting, we were informed that the matter would be dropped, and we heard nothing further on it until this spring, when the Planning Committee of the City recommended to the City Commission that they install parking meters to help pay for the off-street parking lots. This was the first that we had heard that the parking meters were to be used as a source of revenue, for in the past, the argument had always been that they would make for a faster turnover in the amount of cars parking on the streets. The mayor, in his statement of Monday, October the 4th, 1948, pointed out that the parking lots would have to be paid for, and that there were other things that the city needed, namely additional water, sewage disposal, etc., to improve our city. With the mayor, we'll heartily agree. The Kalamazoo was too long set back and let the modern improvements go by the board. But the mayor failed to tell the public that at a meeting we had with him in his office, the Kalamazoo Federation of Labor and the CIO both offered their services to help put over an overall program which would provide for some of the things that they now list as a must, including parking lots, if lumped together and offered as a community program. We have stated in the past, and we state again now, that we will abide by a democratic decision expressed by a ballot vote, but we most certainly cannot see how any citizen can go to the polls and express himself with a ballot that is adopted by the city fathers. Of course, the commission will now argue that the two questions are one, but this was not the case at the outset. The ballots you are to use first ask the question, do you want parking streets, do you want parking lots, parking meters on our streets, or parking lots? I would like to point out here that the city has acquired most of the land for these lots already. And if your answer is in their favor, then you are entitled to go on to the second question and the third question, the third question being on the parking meters. To all of the citizens who are opposed to the parking meters on your streets, all we can say is to vote no on the questions 1, 2, and 3. Those who have been advertising and advocating the installation of parking meters point out what this city and that city thinks of the meters. Well, we have statements from some of the citizens of these same cities, and their views are in direct opposition to those advertised. Furthermore, we believe that Kalamazoo citizens should make decisions of their own based on Kalamazoo and not some other city. This has been our philosophy in the past and should be the same now, but for the sake of the record. The city of Sheboygan, I am told, had meters in on a trial basis and have now given the parking meters until December the 1st to take them off of the streets. Don't be misled by those who would have you believe that by placing a coin on a machine on the street that you are assuredly placed to park in the downtown area. Bear in mind that there are some other 20,000 other motorists like yourselves who have the same idea of parking in the downtown area. So all we can tell you is vote no on the proposal this November 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. Denner. Another peculiar problem confronting Kalamazoo voters in the election next Tuesday relates to the offices of prosecuting attorney and probate judge. We've invited Anthony Stamm to explain this situation. Mr. Stamm is county clerk and secretary of the Kalamazoo County Election Commission. Mr. Stamm.
I know that a good many of you have been perplexed and puzzled as to the apparent confusion which has developed on the nonpartisan ballot. If an explanation can clear this matter with some of you folks, I hope that you'll bear with me and I'll try and make an explanation. Previous to September 1st, there was no problem. But with the death of Circuit Judge George Weimer, it was necessary to appoint someone to be Circuit Judge. Probate Judge Raymond Fox, who was a candidate for re-election to the probate court, was appointed by Michigan's governor to the Circuit Court bench. This appointment left a vacancy in the probate court, and Robert Barber, who was a candidate for prosecuting attorney, was appointed probate judge. This appointment is until such time as someone is elected and qualifies for probate judge. The election of candidates for these two courts comes up at the next general election in April, which means that these men, Judge Barber and Judge Fox, and any other citizen of Kalamazoo interested in becoming a judge may circulate nominating petitions and file as a candidate for the office. Because the Michigan election law makes no provision for taking Judge Fox's name and Judge Barber's name off the ballot and allowing for the placing of other names, these men are candidates for the offices for which they originally filed petitions. The petitions were in proper order, and they were duly certified as candidates for the November election. The only way in which their names could have been taken off the general election ballots would have been by death or by change of residence from this county to another. Thus it was necessary, in compliance with the state's election law, to carry the names of Circuit Judge Raymond Fox and Probate Judge Robert Barber as candidates for probate judge and prosecuting attorney. A cross before the name of Raymond Fox, as it appears on the nonpartisan ballot for the office of probate judge, is legally a vote for Robert Barber, who now is probate judge. A cross before the name of Robert Barber, as it appears on the general ballot, is legally a vote for John Pickard, who now is prosecutor. If Fox and Barber receive a majority of votes November 2nd for the offices of probate judge and prosecuting attorneys, respectively, they will have been duly elected to those offices. The election laws are very specific in providing an opportunity for any citizen to be a candidate for public office. Judge Barber and Judge Fox's appointments are until such time as a candidate is duly elected and qualifies for the office. The orderly procedure to follow would be to hold the primary election next spring and allow anyone who so desires to hold himself forth as a candidate at that time. Now as to the so-called sticker candidates for the offices of judge. Sticker candidates are not new to the election procedure. Anyone at any election may hold himself forth as a sticker candidate for any office on the ballot. At any election in this county, there are always write-ins for various individuals, and this election will be no exception. If the sticker candidates are successful, they'll be duly notified as to whether they have been elected, and in the matter of the probate judge election, this will not appear on the spring ballot. As a voter in this election, however, make up your own mind and vote as you please. Don't become confused about the issues. And if you have any questions regarding the procedure, my office will be glad to help you.
Thank you, Mr. Stamm. This has been another program presented in the public interest.